You know, September the 8th seems like kind of an odd day to have Bethel Women's Day. I mean, it's not Mother's Day. It's not an anniversary. It's a birthday only for the guys, apparently, today. So why then would we have Bethel Women's Day today? Can I tell you? Just because. Just because you are who you are. Just because of whom you belong to, we give you praise. We give you honor today. And we give God the praise and thank him for all of our Bethel ladies. Well, that being said, tell a little story about a 16-year-old son who came up to his mother and said, "Mom, I'm 16 years old now. When I get my license, can I drive the family car?" Well, the mom looked at him and said, "Hey, man, driving the family car takes some maturity. You're going to have to prove that you're grown up. You're going to have to prove that you're responsible enough to drive the family car." And she said, "One way you can do this is by bringing up your grades. Your grades are unacceptable. Secondly, another way that you can show your responsibility is you can start reading your Bible every day. And finally, you can go get your hair cut. Your hair is outrageous." Now, this reminded me of several ladies in our church, one of which, who I won't mention her name, but her initials are Cassie LeMay, talking about her children's haircut. But anyway, this son began the task of fulfilling the mother's requirements so that he could drive the family car, knowing that that last one was probably going to be impossible. But anyway, the report cards came out, and he went to his mom and had a big old grin on his face, and he said, "Look, Mom, A's and B's. Can I start driving the family car now?" And Mom said, "Well, you're about a third the way there. Congratulations. This is great grades. Have you been reading your Bible?" And the son said to his mom, "Mom, I've been reading my Bible every single day." And she said, "Wow, that's incredible. So we're two-thirds of the way there. Now, when are you going to get that haircut?" And he said, "Well, Mom, I've been thinking about that. And why should I get my hair cut to drive the family car when Jesus had long hair, right?" She said, "Well, yeah, that's every picture I've seen of him, he's had long hair." She said, "But here's something else you need to know about Jesus. Jesus walked everywhere he went. Now, you going to get that haircut or not?" Friends, in Ephesians chapter 4, we find that God has given spiritual leaders to the church for one purpose. That is to help the body of Christ to grow and to be equipped to do the ministry that God has given to the whole church family. Now, on page 1040, in the Bibles in front of you, I'm going to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin in verse 11. In verse 11, the Apostle Paul is writing to believers, okay, the church at Ephesus, and here's what he says: "And he himself," Jesus himself, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some preachers and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the full futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you should put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, in that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's just loud arguing, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, the reason that the Apostle Paul gave us this passage of Scripture is obvious. God wants his people to grow. God wants his people to grow. The Bible clearly tells us that every Christian is a baby when they're saved. And that's why the process is called new birth. But just as every parent is excited when they see their children growing up and maturing, God too is blessed when he sees his children growing up and transitioning from babyhood to adulthood in the spiritual sense. Friend, make no doubt about it, God wants us to move from the spiritual nursery to the spiritual battlefield in the spiritual sense. He wants men and women alike to grow up. He wants us to grow up. He wants men and women to grow up, and a few do. And some never will. But others strive every day for the goal of maturing in Christ. So, that being said, today's message is not for those who falsely believe that they've already arrived. This message is not for those who are simply satisfied just to be saved. This message is not for those who are content with their ticket to heaven and don't really want to be bothered. This message is for those women in particular who are genuinely saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. They know Jesus is their Savior from sin. They know Jesus as the Lord of their lives, and they know they're headed to heaven. They know that they are far from what they should be, but there is this genuine desire in their hearts to be all that God created them to be. This message is for those women in particular whose life is filled with the ups and downs of living. Their life is filled with the struggles that everyone has between the flesh and the spirit. But they're not self-righteous. They're not self-confident, and they're not self-reliant. They are depending on the Lord their God. And therefore, they want to grow. Faithful women want to grow in their relationship with God. So friend, today's scriptures will help us to learn those things that we need to build and bolster that desire to grow and make it become a reality. So all that you have to do today is lay your life alongside the Bible. Hear what God has to say to you. Lay your life alongside it. Discover what needs to be changed and resolve to make those changes. If you want to grow as a faithful woman or a man for that matter, you will grow the qualities that I'm going to be talking about today. Now, ladies, we're going to be diving a little bit deeper than I normally do in a message like this. So are you ready? Ladies, are you ready? That's what I like to hear. Let me start by identifying the fact that Paul says that faithful women are calmly steadfast. They are calmly steadfast. Beginning in verse 14, Paul points out three areas where faithful women are found to be steadfast and stable in their walk with Jesus Christ. The first one being this: faithful women are steadfast in their doctrine. Did you hear it in verse 14? That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, faithful women are not taken in by the teachings of the world. They're not taken in by the false beliefs that the world has. They know what they believe, and they know why they believe it. And they are not easily deceived by the lies and the tricks and the traps of the devil. They believe that the Bible tells them what's right. They believe the Bible tells them what's not right. They believe the Bible tells them how to get right. And they believe the Bible tells them how to stay right. They are steadfast in their doctrine. But faithful women are also steadfast in their development. Did you hear it in verse 15? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. So maturing faithful women have this deep attraction for the truth of God. They are constantly adapting their lives to the teachings of the Bible. They take the time. See, they don't have the time, but they take the time. They make the time to find out what God wants from their lives, and then they make the changes according to His perfect will. In essence, they never stop growing. The faithful woman never, ever stops growing. Many children want to grow up to be like mom and dad. Faithful women want to grow up to be like Jesus. But not only are faithful women steadfast in their doctrine and in their development, they are also steadfast in their devotion. Check it out in verse 16. From whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, which every part does its share. Listen to it. It causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Friends, just like our human bodies are knitted together by our Creator in an incredible way, so too is the body of Christ. So too is the church carefully knit together by God's own hand. Well, faithful women, they recognize that, and they strive to find their place in the body of Christ, to find their place where they can serve the Lord to the best of their ability, and they do it. You see, it's a mark of spiritual maturity when the Christian woman or man does their best to carry out the assignment that God has given to them. You being here tells me that you're seeking your assignment, that you're looking for what God wants to do in you and through you for the body of Christ, and I'm thankful that you are here. But just as if one part of the body fails and the whole body suffers, it's the same with the church. It's the same with the body of Christ. When all the members of the church are participating, when all the members of the church are doing what they've been gifted to do, listen to me, things go great. Things go wonderfully well. But then when some don't participate, then the whole church suffers. In other words, we miss what you got. So it's important that you plug in and utilize your gifts for the glory of God. The bottom line is this: when it comes to faithful women, you can count on a faithful woman. Amen? You can count on a faithful woman. But not only are faithful women calmly steadfast, faithful women are also clearly separate. Beginning in verse 17, Paul tells believers that they should be easy to identify because they behave so differently from the world. And in verse 17, we read that faithful women are separated from the works of darkness. Check that out in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. It's almost like Paul saying, hey, I'm getting this straight from God, y'all. Okay? I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul makes a very clear distinction here between how a lost woman lives and how a saved woman lives. You see, when somebody gets saved, when somebody receives Jesus as their personal Savior and the Lord of their life, they are born again. They literally receive a brand new life. Everything is changed about them. It's a brand new life, so they can no longer walk like they used to walk. They can no longer live like they used to live. Everything is different. You see, the lost woman, she lives like she does because she's blind. Blind to the causes and to the consequences of her actions. She has no clue where she's headed. She doesn't have any idea what's going on in her life, really, because she just can't see the difference. But the faithful woman, on the other hand, is no longer in the darkness. Man, the lights have been turned on in her soul, and she sees the light of Jesus in her. The old way of living just don't cut it no more. Things are different. It's a new way of life. She's got this new desire to walk in a way that the Lord has laid out for her. Life's no longer about her own will. Her life now is exclusively about the will of God. That's a faithful woman. She no longer lives in the works of darkness. No, she separates herself from such things. But we also find that faithful women are separated from a walk of darkness. In verse 20, listen to what the Bible says. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, the faithful woman, she accepts this change of life that results in a change of walk. Man, you can just watch her and you can tell if she's a faithful woman or not. Just as men are called, faithful women are also called, listen, to put off once and for all the ways of that old woman. They're called to put off the ways of the old woman that just grows worse day after day after monotonous day. But she's not only called to put off the old ways once and for all, she's also called to put on the new ways once and for all. The new woman that's been newly created in Jesus Christ for righteousness and holiness. A woman who comes to Jesus Christ is forever changed. She's forever changed, and she receives a whole new way of life. She's received a change of heart that results in a profound change of mind. God has put a new desire in her heart. God has put a new desire in her mind to make her want to live differently than she ever used to live. And the bottom line about the faithful woman is this. A faithful woman looks different. A faithful woman acts different. She walks different. She talks different. She thinks different, differently than she ever did before. Everything about her has changed. Maturing, faithful women are calmly steadfast, but they're also clearly separate. But finally today, faithful women also have Christ-like standards. In verse 25, we begin to discover that Paul is focusing primarily on the fact that faithful women and men have learned how to act, how to react, and also how to interact with other people, and especially faithful believers. You see, the biggest change that has happened in the faithful woman's life is the emphasis of her life is now drastically removed from self and now is focused on others. That's one way that you can tell a faithful woman. If it's all about her, herself, she's probably got some trouble. But if her life is focused on others, now you're probably looking at a faithful woman. Baby Christians live that kind of lifestyle, that kind of self-centered, selfish existence. They pretty much do what they please, when they please. It's up to them. But the faithful woman understands that the calling of God is much, much bigger than herself. That the calling of God is bigger than the world itself. And she seeks to make the changes according to God's will. She truly cares for other people. And it shows in every one of her relationships, but especially in how she relates with fellow believers. Do you remember what Jesus said about his people? In John 13, 35, Jesus said that the single defining trait of his people was that they could be identified by how they loved one another. How they loved one another. A faithful woman loves her fellow believers. I believe that our women here at Bethel have got that one figured out. When we hear of 25 women gathering on a Wednesday evening to study the Word of God, we see a tight-knit group of women that have gathered for one purpose, and that is to honor the Lord and to grow and to mature. They're loving on one another. And they're learning how to love on others even more. You see, faithful women, they are acting Christ-like in how they act. In verse 28, Paul said, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that they may have something to give him who has need." The reason that Paul wants them to work is so they have something to help those who are in need, to help others. So instead of selfishly taking what belongs to others, the faithful woman is completely focused on what other people need. The point is this: self has ceased to become the great motivator in her life. Things have changed. Things have changed. Others now have become the most important part of her life. Faithful women have learned to look beyond self and to look to see the needs of other people. They have actually internalized Philippians 2:4, where the Bible says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." The faithful woman has that one down pat. But faithful women are also Christ-like in how they react. Did you notice it in verse 26? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. But if we continue on in verse 31, Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Those four verses, they really mean the same thing. They speak of learning to control your anger when you're irritated. Learning to control your anger when you're offended. It speaks of learning to be quick to offer forgiveness when you've been hurt. You see, how you react, friend, is just as important as how you act. In verse 26, Paul said, be angry without sinning. Now I wonder, how in the world do you pull that one off? Amen. Every time I get angry, I sin. Amen. But it's not what Paul said I should do. It happens when I get angry about the things that really don't anger God. It's just a selfish kind of anger. You see, if you give the enemy an inch, he'll be your ruler. He'll try to take over every part of your life. So because how you react is so important, Paul tells us that faithful women and men, for that matter, are to avoid the urge of getting even. Avoid the urge of lashing out when somebody gets under your skin. Instead, we are to forgive to the same degree that we've been forgiven. That one always gets me. That I'm to forgive to the same degree that I've been forgiven. I don't know about y'all, but this one has been forgiven a lot. And so when I look at the little irritations that happen in my daily life, how could I not be willing to offer forgiveness in the same way that I've been forgiven? Faithful women are Christ-like that way. Not only in how they act, but also how they react. But finally, faithful women are Christ-like in how they interact. Check it out in verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In verse 29, let no corrupt word. I've had people say, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says I can't cuss. Here it comes. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And listen, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All those verses talk about the same thing. They talk about how we're to relate to one another. We're to always speak the truth in love. But we're also to guard against the trash that tries to pour out of our mouths sometimes. And I'm not talking about just cussing. I'm talking about even that time when you're tearing somebody down just because you can. I believe that the Bible is clearly telling us here that we should always be building up and never tearing somebody down. Anything else grieves the very Holy Spirit of God. And listen, it also hinders the body of Christ. So let us be careful of what pours out of our mouth. Faithful women realize this. They get it. And they strive to harness the power of their words. Remember, it's always better to be quiet and let somebody think that you're a fool rather than open up your mouth and remove all doubt. When you were young, did your parents or maybe an older sibling, which one of you is older, Dustin or Chris? Dustin is. Dustin, did you ever look at Chris and say, man, would you please grow up? All the time? Still do it? I hear you. I feel you, baby. I'm the oldest brother too, man. I feel you. I think a lot of younger brothers and sisters have probably heard that before. Why don't you just grow up? And you know what they're saying, right? What they're saying is why don't you start acting more mature than the way you're acting? And I say that because I wonder if God ever looks at us and says, sure do wish you would grow up. Sure do wish y'all would grow up. I've got so much more in store for you. Sure do wish you'd grow up. But it seems that some people never mature. Some Christians never grow up. But every single day of our lives, we ought to be growing and becoming more like Jesus. So ladies, would you describe yourself as a faithful one? Do you feel like that you possess some of these identifying qualities of faithful women? You know, like being calmly steadfast. Can people count on you to be a faithful woman? Not just on Sundays, mind you, but every day? Do you have that quality of being clearly separate from the world that you live in? I mean, can people look at you and say, man, she looks different. She acts different. She walks different. She talks different. I bet she thinks different than she ever did before. Her life is clearly separate from the world around her. Ladies, do you have these Christ-like standards in how you act, in how you react, but also in how you interact with the body of believers? I want to tell you that if your answer is no, if you don't have these qualities, listen to me carefully, it's not too late. You can start today making these qualities a part of who you are as a faithful woman. And listen to me, it's a matter of life and death. Not your own necessarily, but your children, your grandchildren. Can they look to you, say, my grandmama is a faithful woman. My mama, oh yeah, she's a faithful woman. It is a matter of life and death. And it all begins the same way for every person. Entering into a life-changing relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you haven't been able to identify with these qualities, but you want to, maybe you need to start from square one. And that's just placing your faith in Christ. Coming into this relationship with God that can make these qualities evident in your life. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to come. If you're looking to make a fresh start, I encourage you to come. This is an opportunity for women to become faithful. And I believe that God loves using faithful women. I know that He's done that here at our church. And we're so grateful for each one of you. So let me pray for you. Father God, You are amazing, and we're so grateful that You have blessed us with so many faithful women. Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that if there's somebody who would like to have these identifying qualities, Father, perhaps they need to begin as every other faithful woman began, and that is by coming to faith in Jesus, desiring this ever-growing, ever-maturing relationship with You, God. Father, if there's one who would like to take that step today, Lord, help them to feel welcome in coming and becoming a part of the family of God. Lord, if there's one who been a part of the family for a long time, but for whatever reason, they just haven't taken on those identifying qualities just yet, what a great day it is. Bethel Women's Day. Draw that line in the sand and say, I'm going to become a faithful woman. By the power of God, I'm going to become a faithful woman. Lord, have your will and your way in this decision time. And we'll give you the glory for all the changes that have been made today in every man, every woman, and every child for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Stand, let's sing.